10 minutes after 6 o'clock, final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you for, well, I guess another 25 minutes or so before it's time to pass you on to some Cleveland Indians baseball. Tribe of the Yankees doing battle at Progressive Field tonight. Well, 3 days into August, it's football season. And people are loving it with all the obvious things at stake here. I mean, training camp, all kinds of battles going on for the Cleveland Browns. And nobody knows more about that than the Browns beat reporter for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Scott Petrak. And he is joining us right now. Scott, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well. And, you know, I know this has been a busy week for you. First week of training camp. And I know there's a lot to be learned over the first 7 days or so. Just kind of wanted to pick your brain and see if there's anybody individually that really has stood out above all the rest in your eyes over the first week of camp?
You know what? That's interesting. I would probably go Myles Garrett, and that's maybe being a prisoner of the moment, but the last three practices, I think he's been outstanding. It started Monday, the day off Tuesday, and yesterday he was really good, and then again today, even though he worked with the twos today, and Joe Thomas had the day off, so I didn't get to go against him. I had him for two more sacks. You just notice when he's out there, and in a big way, he's getting to the quarterback. He's affecting plays. So, which is a good sign. You'd expect that from your number one, but you never know. And so far, he's lived up to the billing.
And you bring up Myles Garrett. I think it's been circulating on social media the other day that that play he went up against Joe Thomas and ran right by him to get to the quarterback. I don't know if you've seen that. I'm sure you were there for it or which one I'm talking about. But I think that's got Browns fans obviously pretty excited. I mean, that's a 9-time Pro Bowler right there that he's getting around.
Yeah, I was standing right there. And actually, I think he's a 10-time Pro Bowler.
There you go.
I think it's every year. But yeah, I was standing right there at a great view of it. And it was interesting because the first couple of plays, Joe stopped him. You know, the one I watched, Myles put his helmet into Joe's chest, and Joe just swallowed him up and kind of got a little help from Betonio, and Myles didn't go anywhere. And then on this play, Myles got off the ball in a hurry and then turned the corner in a hurry. And it was just impressive. It looked like, you know, he's going to rip Cody Kessler's arm off. You know, when you see him beat one of the best tackles ever to play, you know, that means something. And, you know, we talked to Bruce Smith yesterday and Hugh Jackson yesterday and Joe Thomas today. And the more that Myles Garrett can go up against Joe and learn everything Joe can teach him, the better off he'll be, because he has all the physical tools in the world. And he seems like he has the right attitude and he's willing to put in all the work necessary. So it's just a matter of time and kind of getting all the little things done and experience. And, you know, assuming he stays healthy, you know, the sky really is pretty close to the limit for a guy like Myles.
And I know it's only been just about a week here. We just got done asking you about the one individual that really has kind of stood out to you in training camp so far. What about units? Is there any one particular unit on this team that has looked better than all the rest?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I think I entered camp thinking the O-line would, but there's with Joe in and out of the lineup and Joe Betonio in and out of the lineup as he's coming off to Liz Frank, you haven't seen the front five that you're going to see September 10th, week one against the Steelers. You haven't seen that enough for the line to stand out. So, you know, what I'm going to say, the defensive front, and there's a lot of depth on that side. You know, and Dez Bryant joined the ones yesterday for the first time, coming off the whole midseason with a torn pec. And like I said, there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of playmakers. There's Myles Garrett. There's Emmanuel Agba. You know, Cam Johnson, who's been keeping that spot warm for Garrett at right end, had two sacks today. You know, on that inside, you got Shelton. You got two other rookies, Ogunjobi and Brantley. You got Dez Bryant. You got Jamie Meter, Xavier Cooper. There's a lot of guys. They're not all going to make this team when we get to September. So that's a unit. And, you know, stuff to always tell, okay, is the defensive front so good? Is the offensive line struggling? But I think a lot of times it's the defensive front is really that good.
We're talking with Scott Petrak, Browns beat reporter from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the afternoon. And, Scott, I've talked to a few folks who have been to camp and just kind of gone as fans to observe, and they say a lot of great things about Kenny Britt, what a physical specimen he is. What are your early impressions of him?
Well, I have two. One is the physical nature that he plays with. And I had heard that scouting report. I hadn't seen a ton of Kenny, you know, when he's been in the league with, you know, Tennessee and then the Rams. But he's a physical guy. He made a catch. I don't know what all these days run together, yesterday or the day before, where he had to kind of post up at the front corner of the end zone, and he did it. And he made space for himself, and somebody fit the ball into him, and he made a nice catch. And I don't know if you're just looking at him, you'd say, this guy's a, you know, I mean, he's a big, tall guy, but, you know, his numbers aren't crazy. He's not like his biggest Terrell Pryor was, but I think he might play bigger as you see throughout the season. For all the good things Terrell did, I don't think he was as physical as his size made it seem like he should be. And I think Kenny Britt kind of goes the other way. He's more physical than his size, and that's needed on this receiving corps, which doesn't have a ton of height, you know, or size. You know, Corey Coleman, the number one, is only 5'10 or whatever. So I've liked what I've seen out of Kenny Britt. And the other thing that stands out about him, he's got a personality on him. You know, he just fits right in. He's always laughing. He's loud. He screamed something at Danny Shelton the other day when he didn't think – he thought Danny kind of crossed the line. So I'm looking forward to kind of talking to him all season long because I think he's going to have plenty to say.
Scott, tight end position's always been big for the Browns. David Njoku had his struggles. Beginning of camp, how have things been going for him of late?
Well, you know what? He made his best catch of camp yesterday, went up between two guys, he ran a post in the red zone, went up between a linebacker and safety, made the catch, came down with it, held on, got up, big spike, and then I think he had another touchdown. So that was encouraging. But then today, he didn't practice. Hugh Jackson said his back acted up, so they gave him the day off. So, you know, it's been a stop and start for this guy, and the Browns need him. You know, they drafted him in the first round for a reason. They traded up to get him. They need him to contribute early, even though he's young, even though he didn't play a ton at Miami. They need him. You know, they got rid of Gary Barnage right after they drafted him. So it's been a bit disappointing because he's had the drops. He got stripped a couple times. And it just hasn't been the start you're looking for. But, you know, that's the kind of thing he's going to have to fight through. You know, if he's going to make it in this league and he's going to make an impact early, he's going to have to come and kind of fight through that funk, get out of the slump, and play like a first-round draft pick. We started to see signs yesterday. That's why it was kind of disappointing he wasn't back out there today.
Well, we've inquired about two of those three first-round draft picks. We might as well make it the trifecta. When we had you in studio about a week and a half ago, that was just after Jabril Peppers had finally signed his contract. What does he look like in camp so far?
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting, and I probably mentioned it when we talked then. In Michigan, I thought he was best with the ball in his hands, and that's what I've still seen here. You know, I just watched him field punts or kickoffs today. He's just really natural catching it, natural running with it. So, you know, you're going to see him do that. You're going to see him return kicks. You're going to see him have a role on offense, whether it's lined up in the backfield, whether it's the Wildcat quarterback, or they line him up in the slot. No, it's not going to be a ton, but you're going to see him, you know, whatever. Is it two snaps a game? Is it five snaps some games? And then I think on defense, he's still finding his way. He's not with the starters yet. You know, he's working mainly with the third team, sometimes with the second team. It's safety. And, you know, that just signals that he's not ready. Now, you know, they like to make the rookies earn it. You know, Miles still works with the second team today. But it feels like Peppers is farther away, much farther away than Garrett is.
Quarterback conversations always seem to dominate the discussion. So we've got to pose this one to you here as we continue to monitor this quarterback battle. I mean, Kizer seems to be the guy everybody's looking at right now for all the obvious reasons. Is there anything, Scott, you see from Kizer that just blows you away and makes you think, wow, you could see why this guy's got so much more potential than the other two guys in camp?
Yeah, there's plenty. I mean, first it's his size and his athleticism, and then the way he throws the ball. He just throws it better than the other two guys. And when it comes to Cody Kessler, it's not even close. You know, Kizer made a throw today during a two-minute drill. He made a, I don't know how long it was, 25, 30-yard throw, corner route to James Wright, went up and got it, and they were able to kick the field goal that would have won the game. It's just a big-time throw. And then you see him tuck it and run a couple times. And I don't love that out of my quarterback, but I love that my quarterback can do that when necessary, right? A play breaks down, he can improvise. He can make something happen. How many times have we seen the Browns get killed by Big Ben doing that? So he's just got all the tools you're looking for. Now he's young, and, you know, there's still some things that he's learning and doesn't know yet, and it's whether, you know, they're bringing this blitz and he misses the blitz pickup and it winds up being a sack, or he's a a second slow reading the defense, and he hangs on the ball for a hitch too long, and that leads to an incompletion or a sack. You know, I mean, you still see those every day, but then every day you also usually see a great throw or two or three. That's why, you know, the longer this goes, the longer camp goes, and the more you see Kizer, especially compared to Kessler, you just say, if he's close, if Hugh Jackson thinks he's close to being ready by week one, why not start him? And that's what all directions seem to be pointing to. I don't know when Hugh's going to make that decision. I don't know if Kessler will start the preseason opener, but I think at some point, unless something else happens, you'll see Hugh go, you know what, it's time to get the kid ready, and that means DeShone Kizer.
We're talking with Scott Petrek, Browns beat reporter for the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I want to stick with that for a second because you wrote a piece the other day talking about it's hard to tell just how patient Browns owner Jimmy Haslam is going to be. And patience can mean a couple of different things. Patient as far as wins and losses, or patient in that how long is he going to sit back idly and let Hugh Jackson do his thing? Could there come a point in the season where he runs out of patience, maybe not seeing Kizer run out onto the field and get some more snaps where he feel like that might be necessary? So in your mind, you know, just kind of taking a look at how involved Haslam has been in the early stages of camp, Do you think he's going to exercise the patience that it takes to just kind of pump the brakes and step back and let Hugh do his thing?
Yeah, I do. I think that'll happen throughout the season. And I think the organization is on the same page overall. And I think everyone, from Jimmy to Hugh, knows that you have to see Kizer. Now, it's up to Hugh to determine, is that week one, is it week four, is it week eight, whenever that may be. And he'll get input from everybody, from Jimmy to Sashi to Dee Podesta to Andrew Berry. Where I question Jimmy's patience is if the season is a disaster, right? One win, two win, three wins, whatever that number is, and you don't see the improvement. And even bigger than that, if you don't see these draft picks, Sashi and company have drafted 24 guys in the last 2 years. If we don't see enough development and enough impact from those guys, That's where the question lies to me. Then does Jimmy say, you know what, I'm going to trust these guys who don't have traditional football backgrounds to go ahead and draft 5 picks in the first 2 rounds again next year and give them a whole other year to see if guys like Corey Coleman and Sean Coleman and Seth DeValve develop? Because by then it could be too late. By then you've spent a bunch of your salary cap. By then you've wasted high draft picks, you know? And I just don't know if you can do that and then go at the end of 2018, you go, hey, you know what? It was a failed experiment. We're starting over. And all of a sudden, you don't have all that cap room. You don't have all those draft picks anymore. And you still haven't identified your starting quarterback. So that's why Kizer is so important. And guys like Coleman and the other Coleman and DeValve and Ricardo Lewis, Derek Kindred, guys who need to step up this year and will get the opportunity. If they don't look like NFL, legitimate NFL starters, then I think Jimmy's going to start to question the guys making the draft picks.
And to stick with that, Corey Coleman is one of those guys I think you look at. You mentioned his name a couple times there, and I think fans are looking at this thing just waiting for something from him. Obviously, last year was very incomplete. He was injured quite a bit.
Sure.
But what have you seen from him so far in camp? I know he's endured some injuries already in camp, but have you seen him progress at all when he's been out there?
You know what? He's looked good. And I think he's kind of flown under the radar, which is weird for a guy who's your first-round draft pick last year. But he's made a play or two a day, pretty much. You go, hey, Corey Coleman just showed up. And it's not just your run-of-the-mill completion. You know, he goes up in traffic, or he shows the explosion you're looking for. Today, all these plays run together. But he made a play today where I said, hey, that's a good play from Corey. You know what else? He caught a little out, took a shot from Chris Kirksey, the linebacker, stayed on his feet, put his head down, and went through safety Derek Kindred. Now, it wasn't a full-on tackling drill, but he showed some toughness there that I'm not sure I knew he had in him. So I've been impressed with Coleman, you know, and I was really skeptical about the receivers, and I still question the depth at the position. But Coleman and Britt have looked good as a twosome, as a starting twosome throughout this first week.
Well, and the orange and brown scrimmage goes down tomorrow, is that right?
Yeah, 5-7 at the stadium.
Okay, what are some of the things you're going to be looking for in that orange and brown scrimmage?
Well, it's the last time we're going to see the quarterbacks before Hugh possibly and maybe probably changes the rotation. So, you know, maybe it's Cody Kessler's last stand with the one, see if he can really impress. you know, maybe, well, you know, I don't know how much Garrett versus Thomas we see, but that's obviously something we need to see. And then all these other rookies, Peppers, you know, we mentioned him. Does he show up? Because it's going to be a game-type situation. They're going to do full tackling. They're going to go ones versus twos, offense versus defense, and then flip it. And it's going to be, you know, they're going to do series and punts and all that stuff in a game. So, you know, I think I want to see how these rookies adapt to the lights, or at least the big stage of the stadium. And then how do these quarterbacks fare? Because, you know, when we come back in Saturday or by the latest Monday, I mean, they play the Saints a week from today. You know, we need to see what Hugh's going to do with the quarterback.
Great stuff as always, Scott. We certainly appreciate the time. And it should be interesting tomorrow at that Orange and Brown scrimmage, as you said, to see those guys play under the lights and on a much bigger stage the first time. Scott, we always appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, guys.
All righty, that's Scott Petrak of the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, Browns beat reporter. Don't forget to check out that new website, brownszone.com. That's brownszone.com. We'll step aside and take one last break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt and I will come back to wrap it up after this on AM 930 WEOL.
Napa know-how.
The Napa Legend Battery does legendary things, like starting your car when the heat index hits a buck 25, or making sure your AC stays running like a gazelle. And now, when you buy a Napa Legend battery, you'll get a prepaid Visa card by mail worth $15. $15 back and a new battery? That's not just legendary. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, offer expires 8/31/17.